Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Joel Pozdansky of Wicked Uncle. Joel, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Very nice to be here. Thank you, Gresh.
No problem. Super excited to have you on. And what I want to do is just read a little bit more about Joel so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And Joel was excited to come to business school in the USA from England, more excited to marry and have three wonderful children who make fun of his accent and pursue an entrepreneurial career, primarily in publishing. And finally, more excited and most recently to become a grandfather and too late for his own children's direct benefit, help a friend bring his very successful British toy retailer, Wicked Uncle, to the US of A. Joel, are you ready to speak to the I Am CEO community?
I am absolutely ready.
Thank you. Awesome. Let's do it. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about what I call your CEO story. What's your background and what led you to get started with your business?
Okay. Well, I come from a family of doctors in every direction, my siblings, both my parents, cousins, everybody. So when I decided at the age of 11 that somehow that wasn't for me, I didn't know what to do. And I discovered while I was at college that I really enjoyed running things. And I always worked weekend jobs and so forth when I was at high school. And I worked in a shoe shop, which I really found, to my parents' surprise, everyone's surprise, that I really enjoyed. So when I left college, I went into the military, British military, which is voluntary, just like over here. And I went to Sandhurst, which is like West Point, except that it's not a university degree. Mm-hmm. And after that, I had a friend who had been also in the OTC with me at college, who had gone to business school in America and decided, okay, I'll try business. And I've been trying business for the last 35 years. I'm sure I can get it right eventually. But no, it's been very, I've had a very interesting and varied time. Coming out of business school, it was a wonderful experience. I not only met my wife on the very last day before I went back to England. So that was I joined a fantastic British company, thinking that what the company does doesn't really matter to me. I just like running things. And if I'm working with great people and working on something honorable, that'll be good enough. I got the first two bits of that absolutely right with my first choice. And I worked for 5 years with a company very much like Hewlett Packard, a manufacturer, international, big, national billion-dollar British public company founded by two Brits who are extraordinarily talented and well-known in England, Peter and John Curry. Peter passed away a few years ago, but it's a beautifully run company with a whole range of divisions around the world. They sent me to run a small division they had that they had acquired in Long Island, manufacturing things like the little connectors that went into Armstrong's microphone, and manufacturing aerospace plugs, basically is what it is. And I discovered that you can work for an absolutely wonderful company with great people. And if you have no interest in what they're making, even though it's fascinating in bits, but it's hard to sustain your interest. So I realized I better try and find something in business that I actually, where I was interested in it beyond the business. Mm-hmm. And that's the advice I give to people who tell me they're switching to business and going to business school. There were plenty of business school professors saying, choose the industry carefully and so forth. And I guess businesses are not all the same. Although actually the fundamental idea of business school, you probably have the same thing, is that businesses are fundamental, or key things about them are the same. They all have balance sheets and profit and loss accounts and people who you want to get going in the right direction or in a common direction. Anyway, so after that, I went into essentially, not directly, but I worked for a private equity company that backed me in looking for a company that I would find interesting and wanted to run. And I ended up in a consumer business with a small publishing arm. And that was wonderful, really great experience. It was a turnaround of a very old American company based up near Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And when we sold that, I moved to Maryland to be with the company that bought us, but that was a family company. And I decided it was that I should not be in, not that there was anything wrong with it, but that was, it was better. I like more the formality of either a private equity or public style company. Mm-hmm. So, and that essentially led me into publishing, because that had been, as I said, a small arm of the company I ran, which was in music education and had a small portion in music education publishing. And that's where I've been for the last 20 years, running basically two different companies during that period, 10 years each, I guess, 8 years and 12 years. Mm-hmm. And publishing is a fascinating area. Very challenging because of the changes that have occurred. Probably, I don't think any industry, I'm sure I'll be found wrong, but I can't think of any industry, or certainly any industry I studied at business school, that has had the same kind of dramatic challenge. People talk about all the industries related to horses and so forth was the mm-hmm. standard trope when the car came in. But of course, the car was a transportation-related business, and the horse wasn't replaced by something entirely free, whereas publishing in many areas, whether it's news publishing or directory publishing, was actually replaced by something at least free, very free initially, like Google, now much more advertising-supported, which is more a traditional model. But for 10 years, we had entirely free competition. And that's very difficult, I think, for any business to cope with. If you imagine, I think of a restaurant, if suddenly a restaurant opens next door, and it may not be quite as good as the restaurant you have, but it's free. Yeah. it's hard for you to make the economics of your restaurant where you're requiring people to pay one way or another keep going. But anyway, so that is my... Is that more than you wanted, or
that's right on line with exactly what I wanted, and I think it's great. Obviously, I'm a big journalism nut, and I love like content and all that information. But you're absolutely right; the internet and the accessibility to certain types of content has completely changed journalism industry, content publishing, just so many things. And I like how you kind of compared it to the car, because it does have that kind of impact. But as you said, it's not the same, because it's the car wasn't free; you still had to pay for that as well.
Well, in 2007, the second company, mm-hmm. which was one that I bought, mm-hmm. Columbia Books, it had a wonderful, it was a directory publisher, 50 mm-hmm. years old at that point, and every year it sold, basically, actually, up until about 2003, obviously the internet and Google began before that, but mm-hmm. every year it sold more copies each year of its key directory. It was a directory of associations. So mm-hmm. if you went into a library anywhere in the country, or if you went into a journalist's office, or you went into a law office, and you said, I need to find out about yoga. Mm-hmm. The answer, the librarian would say, well, we probably have some books on that, maybe, but you know what? I bet there's an association, a yoga-related association. Here's the book where you can look up where that is. It's good chance it's in Washington, because a lot of the associations are in Washington. Here's their telephone number. I bet they've got masses of information on careers in yoga, for example, or mm-hmm. legal issues around yoga, or whatever it is that you were looking at. Well, we were that book, and that directory every year, we had we came out with the updated directory, lots of interesting information about the associations. 16, actually, that America has over 100,000 active associations, but about 25,000 of them have more than one employee or more. Mm-hmm. Anyway, from 2003, this company that had sold, I think if I'm remembering the numbers correctly, it had increased in the 50 years every year, so that it was selling tens of thousands of these directories all over the country. It literally, between 2003 and 2007, when I took it over, had dropped during that 4-year period by 80%. Wow. 80%.
Wow.
So now they should have seen it coming, and maybe they did see it coming.
Yeah. But
the issue is, if somebody comes into a library or into a law office and wants to find a yoga association, they go online to Google and write mm-hmm. in yoga association, and exactly. goodness knows there's a the association comes up along with a lot of other information. So the directory became to some extent redundant. Still a good product, has a different audience now, but publishing industry very, very dramatically affected. And we know the newspapers, huge effects for them. Very interesting.
Anyway, definitely interesting, but definitely something that, you know, people still crave it, obviously, but it's just coming in a lot of different ways. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about Wicked Uncle. Could you take us through exactly what you're doing and even kind of provide what I like to call your secret sauce, or what you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique? Okay.
I made the decision about 4 years ago that I wanted to hand over the publishing company to the team. It was fascinating that the publishing is a very challenged industry, relies on intelligent, smart, lively people who are willing to countenance whole areas of change. So it's been very difficult in the publishing business for people who are there. I found that I was significantly older and getting slower and maybe even more resistant to the change that needed to be ongoing than the rest of the team, who were all in their late 20s and 30s. And I thought it was a good idea, therefore, for me to let them, and they've been doing a wonderful job with the company, better than me. So I knew that I wanted to pull back and find something else. And a friend of mine from England, from my time both at college and in the military, had been involved with e-commerce startups before it was fashionable, gone through the ups and downs of that in the early, in the late 90s and early 2000s. Many were sort of ahead of their time, including probably his. And but had, about the same time I took over my publishing company, actually around 2005, 2006, started a specialist niche e-commerce company designed for people like him, who were maybe not exactly like him, because he's a bit of a playboy, but who had to find gifts and toys for their nephews and nieces, didn't have their own children. Mm-hmm. And he created a company called Wicked Uncle, as in cool uncle, with really choice toys being delivered through traditional warehouse Amazon style delivery, in competition with Amazon. He had wanted to set this up, or to see if it would work in America, with on the basis of the idea that there are just as many cool uncles who'd like to, and grandparents and parents who'd like to be appreciated for choosing the right gift for their child. So he had been suggesting this to me, and I thought it was a great idea. I could see how successful it had been in England. I couldn't, or in Britain, I couldn't see why it wouldn't be of benefit to people like me in America, although I have my children are now too old for toys, but I guess now that I'm going to be using it for my grandchildren. So that was, I guess, 2.5 years ago, making the evaluation of we had a business model, because it existed in the UK, we had an operational model. How did it need to be changed for America? It was a complete startup over here, which is something that I hadn't done before. I'd already always taken over existing established companies, sometimes problematic ones, sometimes ones going through difficulty, which often the case in publishing, but not always. And so it was a new, completely new venture for me. We opened in September 2017.
Truly appreciate that. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I know you gave us some of these already, so I didn't know if you had anything more, but I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So it could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but something that helps you be more effective and efficient.
In terms of my colleagues do obviously use a lot of much more involved in social media. Really, the only social media I use, but I do find it very useful, is LinkedIn, which of course is very standard, but as a way of keeping in touch and actually finding out about other. It was particularly useful, I'd say, getting into an entirely new industry over here. Reaching out. So there's an aspect to it that is useful.
And now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or a piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what would you tell your younger business self?
I would definitely tell them that it is much easier to be engaged and probably therefore successful if you find a business that resonates with you in some way.
Truly appreciate that nugget. And now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on this show. So Joel, what does being a CEO mean to you?
As the CEO of Columbia Books, what it means to me is that I'm the supervisor and the continuing mentor, if you like. I guess getting involved primarily in approving the and working on the overall strategy of the company. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do is pass you the mic just to see if there is anything additional, there was anything you wanted to tell our readers and listeners, and then of course, how best they can get a hold of you and find out about Wicked Uncle and all the awesome things you're working on.
Well, I'd say it is, for anyone who's, I guess, a little older like me, making a change like this is actually very refreshing. And I'd say that the best thing about business or about maybe any organization is frankly, the people you work with, and that's what makes it all possible. In order to find Wicked Uncle, very straightforward. Go now to the website, wickeduncle.com, and you will get to see some great toys. And we try to keep changing. I'll be at Toy Fair in 2 weeks' time, trying to find the best new toys for every age, from baby up to teenager, basically.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Joel. We will have the links and information in the show notes. So I appreciate your time, appreciate everything you're doing, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.